We're going to conclude our study in the book of Colossians. We've been spending the past several weeks on our life with God from here to there. And if we break down the book of Colossians, we can kind of look at it in this way. And for those of y'all that are taking your Bibles out, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. But the first two chapters of the book of Colossians, we looked at the vertical indicative, what God has done for us, because everything that we're about as Christians, as followers of Jesus, everything we're about is because of what God has done. He's come into our dead life. He's given us life. He's given us the ability to follow Him. And that leads to the horizontal imperative. So if we break down the book of Colossians, we can look at kind of the first two chapters as up, you know, us and God. Then we looked at chapter 3 and we talked about stuff like sex, like anger, like marriage. And so if you want to think of it in a prepositional phrase, we're going to kind of think of it as in. In other words, what happens with that transforming relationship with Jesus Christ? Up, in. Now the Apostle Paul is going to conclude with out. Let's read the first seven verses of the fourth chapter of the book of Colossians in our concluding message. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying for us, God would open a door would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And all of my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. As we come to this concluding passage in the book of Colossians, it reminds me of a book that's given out. And every year we have commencements, from kindergarten to high school to college to grad school. Do y'all know what the number one book is that's given out at commencements? Of all those groups, it's the same book that's given to kindergarten, it's given to graduate students. Y'all know what it is? Can anybody guess? Famous author. I'm going to actually read a passage of the book, see if y'all can guess who the author is. Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along. You'll start happening too. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up. You're still great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights, except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. All alone, whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. Kids, you'll move mountains. So be your name Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai L. Van Allen O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. Anybody know who the author is? There you go. We got a literate crowd here at Camp Creek. Dr. Seuss. Now, it's a little bit embarrassing, but I have to tell you, I really like Dr. Seuss. I liked his books, despite my mother's best efforts. I like to read them. And the problem, the problem with Dr. Seuss is when I do read them, I start to talk like them. And we're in a series called Life with God from here to there. So I want you to be a part of it. Be part of you dare. This week, like I said, we're going to conclude with the book of Colossians, and we're going to have to go out. Congratulations. Today is your day. Verse 5, walk in wisdoms towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So we're taking our focus and we're looking outward. We've gone beyond the inward transforming relationship of Jesus Christ. And this idea of out, I cannot stress to you how fundamentally important it is to the followers of Jesus Christ. And it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Let's go on back to Genesis chapter 12. I want you to notice something here. Genesis chapter 12. The out that Paul talks about is related to the mission of God. And let's see if we can figure out what the mission of God is. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. One imperative, one purpose listed in these two verses. The first imperative is go. Brothers and sisters in Christ, every single one of us in this congregation, every follower of Jesus Christ has an imperative in their life, and this imperative is go. We don't have the option of not going. And the go imperative that we have is listed with a particular purpose, and it is for this purpose of God, that thou shalt be a blessing. All of a sudden. And this talk is going to be real simple today. It's built around these two words. Go, bless. Now I want you to notice here in Abraham, the Bible, you know, God gave to Abraham way back when God launched his whole mission statement that we're still a part of. God came to Abraham one day just right out of the blue. Abraham didn't expect it. Abraham did nothing to deserve it. And all of a sudden he hears, congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. And Abraham says, hey, what places? How am I going to know? Does Sarah get to come along? Can I take a map? And God says, no. Excuse my paraphrase, but God says no. That's going to take all the fun and the adventure and the faith out of it. God says, just go. Go to the place that I'm going to show you. Here's what go means. Go means you're going to have to trust me, Abraham. Go means you're going to have to leave your little comfort zone where things are familiar and known to you, because my project, Abraham, which by the way begins with you, involves the whole world, and it's going to affect my family, and I'm concerned for my family, and all the nations are going to be blessed through you. Can you imagine how that sounded to little old Abraham? God says, so Abraham, you can't stay here. You're going to have to go there. You can't stay in. I want you to go out. You can't stay where you're comfortable. I want you to get a little uncomfortable. And I'll say more in a few minutes about what go means in particular for us. But then God gives us his purpose and his purpose to Abraham. And it is the word bless. In order for you to be a blessing. So real simple message today. Go and bless through Jesus. And that's the whole idea, because on a scale you can't imagine, God says to Abraham, I will bless you, and all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you. And this would become kind of a creedal text, a fundamental text for the people of Israel. Unless you think it's a casual comment, let's just go to a few verses in the book of Genesis alone. Over in Genesis chapter 18, verse 18, God says, Genesis 18, 18, Abraham shall surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on the earth shall be blessed through him. This one little man. A few more verses over. Genesis 22, 18, speaking of Jesus, it says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Two chapters over, Genesis 26, 4. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Strangest thing. Genesis 28, 14, God reaffirms to Abraham's grandson, Jacob, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And this is what the people of Israel were about. This is their mission statement, without what to say in our day, a mission statement. This mission statement for the people of Israel and for you and for me is go and bless. That's why you're on this planet. That's why you're born. That's why you wake up. To bless. And what does it mean to bless? Well, to bless means to add life, to enhance life, to give life, to make life abundant. Now, I want you to notice in Colossians, look how Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is addressing us. He's talking about, he gets down to the nitty-gritty. He's already talked about sex, he's talked about anger, he's talked about marriages, now he's talking about employers, employees, and he says, masters, give to your servant that which is just and fair. He's saying, hey, employers, have you got employees? Give unto them. And look at, then he talks to us about how we interact with other people. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace. In other words, watch what you say. Watch how you say it. Watch how you treat other people. Whether it's your employer, whether it's the kids on the playground, whether it's just your friends, whether it's your spouse, whether it's the people that are without. I don't understand our Christian brothers and sisters that are a little more introspective. The Bible never says isolate. The Bible always says insulate. Because when we isolate and it's an us versus them mentality, we are no longer fulfilling the mission of God, which is to go and bless. Because outside the four walls of this church, outside the four walls of Christianity today, are the children of God who are dying to hear the good news of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Born again children of God who are just dying on the inside because they don't know about the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then we're going to sit here in our four walls and just go, I don't even know that. You know, we're not fulfilling our mission. We're not going to fulfill our mission as a church as long as we're introspective. But the Bible says, go bless. And in order to do that, we got to roll our sleeves up, get our hands dirty. We got to go out there and interact with people that we thought were far, far from God. Go and bless. And oh, by the way, you're going to do it. It's real simple on things. It's like fundamental, you know, doing to others you haven't done unto you. If you got employees, treat them fairly. You know, I never remember when I was a little kid, my number one complaint against my dad. Well, Dad, that's not fair. You know what Dad would say? Life's not fair. I got to be honest with you. I didn't like that explanation. It's part of the reason why I became an attorney, because dadgummit, I'm going to make life fair. And you know what this tells me? I was right. We ought to be fair to people. That sense of what's right, what's wrong. Masters, you know, pay your employees what they need to be paid. Don't in the name of corporate profits not treat your employees right. Be circumspect about the way you're dealing with the people that are without. Go out there, and when you're dealing with people that are without, let your conversations be seasoned with grace. You know, I just think you're a hellbound sinner. I hear about your political philosophies and what you've done, and there's no hope for you. These blankety-blank Democrats, these dumb idiot Republicans, that's not seasoned with grace. And sometimes I tell you, I have my Christian brother, and I'm guilty of this too, but I'll close my eyes sometimes and just listen to the conversations. And I'm like, man, if I wasn't a Christian, I would not become a Christian just based on the way you talk. Apostle Paul says, man, this Christianity stuff, it gets down to the nitty gritty. How you talk, how you act, where you go, what you think, how you treat other people. It really gets down to the nitty gritty. And your purpose is real simple. It's to go and to bless. That's what the Apostle Paul's saying. Go bless through Jesus. God says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed to you. This is a creedal fundamental text with them. And the Apostle Paul follows up on it. Blessing is fundamentally what God does. If you go back to creation in chapter 1, this is what the writer says, verse 21, and God created great wells, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good, and God blessed them. I love these passages of creation. God created the fish, and he says to the fish, hey, fish, I want you to be fruitful in number. I want lots of you. Fill the waters so it's just teeming over with fish. And when I look at the water, I just want to see fish everywhere. I love a picture of God just blessing fish. How many fish did God make? Many, many fish. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. Not one of them's like another one. I don't know why. Go ask your mother if you want to pry. Anyway, he made so many things just so he could bless it. I mean, it's such a great phrase. So he just have things to bless. That's where there's so many. The platypus. Why is this on this earth? I don't know. God's just so infinitely good that he wants to bless this creature that looks like a beaver and a duck. Think about how fundamentally good God is. Not one of them's like another one. That's his project. It's called the mission of God. It's a great phrase that came to us about 300 years ago from Latin. It's called the Missio Deo. The mission of God was to bless. And we talk about mission statements in the corporate world, but mission statements go way back before corporations or city or human organizations. Mission actually begins with God. God has a mission. That's why he made himself a people, and his mission came before his people. His mission came before the Bible. His mission came before the church. His mission, his God-given mission, is to bless. And then he creates human beings, and God has blessed them, and God says to these human beings, here, I want you to prosper. I want you to reproduce. I want you to fill the earth. I want you to take charge. I want you to be responsible for my creation, and I want you to bless it. Be responsible for the fishes and the seas and the birds in the air and for every little thing that moves on the face. And God just made all this stuff, and he blesses it, and he turns it over to the humans, and he blesses them. And because you are made in the image of God, you and you and you and you and whoever you are, God says you're not just to be blessed, but you're to do it in order to be a blessing. That's your purpose. This is a mission. Whose mission is it? It's God's mission. Before and underneath every human mission statement, the reason we cry out for them, the reason we find them compelling, the reason organizations want to have them, is that that's what's behind all of creation. And the Creator, it's the God's mission. Whose mission? It's God's mission. What's the mission? Bless. Just bless. Where should we do it? Wherever you go. When should we do it? Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. People are going to say, you know, but I'm not trained, I'm not skilled, I don't know how, I'm not articulate about my faith. Moses said that. Elijah said that. Gideon said that. David said that. But it's never just been about our power and our ability. It's always been about Jesus, God's power, God's ability. We could say we're not trained, we're not skilled, we don't know how, we're not articulate about our faith. I don't know how to talk about Jesus. I don't know. I don't have the resources. But this is as simple as Dr. Seuss. Go and bless. It's not optional. It's why you were made. And I don't care how much you were paid. Whether you make a little, whether you make a lot, God's mission to you is go and bless. Whether you have a PhD or whether you didn't graduate high school, God's mission for you is to go and to bless. No matter the station in life that you find it, because when you're with Jesus, five little stones by a creek will enable you to do a great thing. Two little fishes and five pieces of bread, you can feed thousands when you're with Jesus. Go and bless. I think it was a year and a half ago, Maria and I were blessed to go over to San Francisco. And while we were there, I picked up the San Francisco Chronicle. Not exactly Fox News. But on the front page, there was this story about a lady by the name of Linda Allen Wilson. I just wanted to relate it to you for a minute. She's a bus driver on bus number 45, and she's got a little community on bus number 45 because she's a follower of Jesus Christ. It's the most amazing thing that she does. You know, if she has the same route, she has the same customers, and the way she conducts her life is, I want to be a blessing. She saw an 80-year-old woman that was struggling to carry her groceries under the bus. She parks the bus. She hops out of the bus. She picks up the groceries. She carries them on. She helps the old lady under the bus. She spits the groceries right on down there. That's the kind of thing she does. There is a lady by the name of Tanya who one day she was driving by and she's on her bus route. And she stops the bus and she sees her looking at the map. She looks kind of struggling. She's got suitcases beside her. She says, you new to the city? And Tanya says, I just got here a few minutes ago. And she says, well, if you're new to the city, you know, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Why don't you come and kick it with me and my kids? And she did. I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is breaking out on the number 45 bus line. And people found out, and people will now pass up other buses just so they can get on Linda Allen Wilson's bus. And she says, you know, this is how I start my day. Because people want to know, how can you do that? I mean, because being a bus driver ain't exactly like the most prestigious job title there is out in the world. And she says, well, you know, I start my day every day at 2:30. I get up and I pray for 30 minutes. Now, I want you to think about this in relation to what the Apostle Paul says as far as us going out and blessing. He says in verse 1, he says, employers, treat your employees right. He says in verse 2, continue in prayer. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, sermons on prayer aren't my thing. I might have, in the past 15 years, preached two or something like that. And that's my failure, and I apologize to you. But I cannot overemphasize the importance of prayer, because when you love somebody, you talk to them. And when I read about this woman's prayer life, it's just this ongoing conversation with the person that she loves. She says, I start every day at 2:30 and I ask God. I said, God, you know, just kind of show my eyes somewhere where I need to work for you. And give me the strength to do it, because Linda knows she can't do it on her own. And she says, you know, the most amazing thing is during the day, something will happen and it'll be just like a voice from God saying, this is where I want you to be. This is what I want you to do. This is how you're to bless. And she has such a love relationship with the passengers on her bus. Now they find out, you know, they bring her floral arrangements. They have given her use of their vacation homes. There was one, they found out she likes silk scarves, so she has dozens and dozens of silk scarves to accessorize with her things. This one lady gave her a fox coat, not exactly PETA. But it's just been a reciprocal blessing process for her. And God, she says, I start every day at 2:30 just saying, God, where can I bless today? Where can I bless today? Where can I bless today? And I was just thinking, man, wouldn't that be cool if we could start every day with just that attitude? Lord, open my eyes. Let me get over myself and let me reach out for the kingdom of God. I had an experience like that a little bit yesterday. And if you'll allow me just a personal testimony to you. Maria was down at the hospital with Sister Arnold. And so I took Julie and Joshua and Caleb to this thing called Miracle League. Now, for those of y'all that don't know what Miracle League is, it's an organization over in Forsyth County that reaches out to the profoundly mentally challenged. And the spectrum is pretty wide, from profound mentally challenged up to high functioning Down syndrome. And they put on softball games. And it's a really cool organization. I'd never been a part of it before. And I got to be honest with you, because I'm a sinner, I was kind of like, well, you know, it starts at 11:30, Georgia starts at 12, maybe at 12 o'clock I can kind of slip off and listen to the radio as Georgia beats Vanderbilt, because I knew it was going to be a close game. So I was conflicted. I'm just going to own it, because I'm a sinner. Y'all are too, so I'm really not that intimidated by you. You got your own issues. But I'm standing out there. And all of a sudden, and I got it, you know, because look, softball has rules. If you don't hit the ball inside the lines, it's called a foul. But you know what? God's not limited by my rules, my way of doing things. They had this little kid up there. He's just challenge. And, you know, they wanted to help, but she didn't want any help at all. And she just swung. And 5 minutes later, they're still pitching to her. No rules. And all of a sudden she makes contact, the ball goes outside the lines. I'm like, oh man, here we are, another 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden they're like, run, run. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, because the joy on this little girl's face. And she goes in her stumped little run towards first base. And the joy she said, and I just like, oh, I get it, Lord. This is one of those places. Thanks for beating me on the head until I got it. And let me tell you how good the Lord is. There's a little boy named Charlie. He's about 2.5 feet tall. High functioning Downs and suffers from dwarfism. Charlie, he makes contact with the ball and he runs to first. He's got this big glow on his face. He runs to second. And by this time, I had actually taken up position as the third base coach. My job was to wave the people on by like a real third base coach. And Charlie comes running around third base and he looks up at me and I'm going, go, Charlie, go. This is great. And Charlie, to heck with the rules, Charlie runs straight into my arms. And I bend down and I hug him. And he goes, ah, okay. And then he runs on home. And I thought my heart was going to burst. 12:30 came and I hadn't even thought about that stupid football game. I wanted to keep going. God had called me out. And we can be a blessing anywhere, even in the chaos, where we've established our own lines, our own rules, our own borders. But God says, I'm not limited by your stupid lines. I don't have to go to the people that you think I ought to go to. I'm broader than your lines, John, and I'm broader than your thoughts and things. And he can, and there was a blessing there, and he blessed a sinner like me with all my issues too. Ah, okay. I'm going to go home now. You're just, you know, where's the kingdom of God? I'll tell you where the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is on the number 45 bus line in San Francisco. The kingdom of God is on a softball field in Forsyth County with profoundly challenged children just having fun, playing a game outside rules and regulations. The kingdom of God can bless and break, it can break out anywhere, and it is such a blessing when it happens. This is the kingdom of God. That's the power of God. People wonder, where can I find the kingdom of God? That's where you can find it. Where can I find the church? I'll tell you, it's behind the wheel of a Metro Transit vehicle. It's on the field in Forsyth County. I looked up that article by Linda online because I wanted to share a couple of thoughts with you. This is what she writes. I just wanted to think about this, man. This lady's a bus driver. Up in Forsyth County, oh, the places we will go. This is what she writes. She says, I love the Lord, and when the Lord came into my life, He changed me from the inside out. That's a chapter 3, Colossians. My prayer life is a communication with Him, as we know. He works on my attitudes. He works on those things for me to reflect on in my life. So we just talk, and I ask God to show me my life. So He shows me my life. He puts things in front of us. He could be working on my patience. It could be someone less fortunate than I am to give them some shoes or whatever the case may be. You know, only you can know what God is calling you to do, and He'll show you because He loves you. That's where my kindness comes from. So, you see things. God will show you things. He'll show you the senior that's having a hard time getting up on the coach, or how to take it there and be real gentle and set it down in front of her. He'll teach you who's in the back and who might not have all the fare. And He'll say, maybe you should just kind of cover their fare today. He'll teach you these things. He just shows them to you. He's so good. So let your light shine so that others can see. When I first met Jesus, I was on welfare. We know what that is, some of us anyway. I was living in a place called Hunter's Point in San Francisco, a really rough neighborhood. And then I accepted Christ. He blessed me with a job. He blessed me with 6 children. And I would pray, and the Lord blessed me. And I was like, Lord, where's the time? When is the time to go? And He said, let your light shine in darkness, even in Hunter's Point. Your light has to shine in darkness sometimes, not just the light, shine in darkness. Amen? So my light shone until the Lord blessed me, enabled me to go to a better community. I live in Walnut, California now. The Lord took me from that part where I am now, but it came through my life, my dedication, surrendering, getting rid of all the in my life. We all have some. We do. We have to kick it out and get it out. I come from a family of drug addicts, drinkers, smokers, you name it. They're in my household. Yours might be free, but my household had them in abundance. So the Lord blessed me to cover my children under the blood of Jesus. And as I began to pray, and as I began to surrender those things to the Lord, I covered my children, I'd take them, and I'd go into their rooms, I'd just lay hands and I'd pray. Yesterday, my daughter graduated with BA. My girl Linda has childcare. She's teaching children, not just children who come and just stay there and you just look at them. She's teaching them, getting them ready for kindergarten. My other son has a business doing hair. My other daughter's a teacher, and she's working with seniors. One has gone home to be with the Lord, and one's studying to be a nutritionist in New York City. If He can do that for me and mine, just think what He's going to do for you and yours. And I was just thinking after I read, you know, why can't I do that? Why can't we do that? You know, what happens to the Atlanta area if we who followed Jesus lived our daily lives like when we were going to work and when we were going to do whatever we do, whether it's sit behind a desk, drive a bus, teach kids, play softball, whatever it is, if we did it the way Jesus would do it if He were in our place, because that's God's plan. Go and bless. If you've been blessed, you're called to be a blessing. So the question is have you been blessed? So what I'd like to do for just the next couple of minutes is take a kind of a blessing inventory. Let's go to the area of finances first. Any of y'all got upset with the cell phone coverage plan? Because I find that when I drive home, there's this little spot off of, I forget the name of the road now. But my cell phone goes out of signal, and it really irritates me. You know, that's a rich person's problem. Think about it. Those of y'all who don't have fast enough internet speed, that's a rich person's problem. For those of y'all that are wondering, what are you going to do for vacation next year? That's a rich person's problem. Those of you, I'm having car problems. My flight's been delayed. Oh, poor me. What a martyr I am. These are all rich people problems. Education. Has God blessed you educationally? Remember, throughout history, most of the centuries, majority of the human race has been illiterate. They couldn't read. They couldn't write. Some things we haven't earned, but God has just blessed us educationally. Having a home, having a place to live. Some people don't. Some people don't have these things. Friends. Friends are a blessing from God. Spiritual gifts. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God has given you a spiritual gift so that you can bless other people. Transportation. Most of us have cars here. Some of us have bicycles or enough money to get on the bus. God's blessed you with transportation. The forgiveness of sin. I don't have to stand worried about my status before God right now because of Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit. I never have to be alone. I can have guidance and wisdom. These are all blessings, just little things to jog our memories. Those little categories. Now, if you've been blessed in any of these ways, you've been blessed to be a blessing. We're to be a blessing wherever we go, but we're not just we're talking about going out to be a blessing. And there are a couple of places in particular that scriptures tell us that we have to go, that we ought to be real intentional about going to. And these are the two marks of Jesus' mission. The first area we learn from Jesus is the beginning of his ministry, where he announces in Luke that his ministry is about to begin. And he quotes the prophet and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to people that are without." The gospel is for people who have not, who are just eking by on the margins, to the people who are thought to be unblessed, who are thought to be the financial losers. But Jesus was constantly seeing the poor, remembering the poor, championing the poor, serving the poor, giving to the poor, blessing the poor, loving the poor. You know, Marie and I belong to an organization called World Vision, and we support two kids through that. And I was just reading a young story. Ray Stearns is the president of World Vision, and he wrote a letter not too long ago that he sent out, and it talked about this young girl in Cambodia. 13 years old. Her mother had a disease that required a significant operation. If she didn't get the operation, she was going to die. So this 13-year-old Cambodian girl got approached by a man who traffics in young children. And he said to her, "I'll give you the $400, but you got to give me your body." Now, I'm complaining about my cell phone plan, and the most valuable thing that this young lady had to give was her body. And she sold herself to him so the old man could be with her. 700 people later, she was rescued by the International Justice Ministry in conjunction, International Justice Mission in conjunction with World Vision. And now, and at the age of 22, she looks like she's 50. But she counts herself blessed. We get things so out of whack sometimes, but Jesus says, "Look, you've been blessed to be a blessing." And let me tell you something about situations like that. That is not okay with God. And that is the result of a sin-soaked world. And it's happening every day. In my job as prosecutor, I've seen some horrendous trafficking cases. It's in our area right now. And it's not okay with God. And you, as the church, are the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. And your mission is to go and to bless. Some of you are aware of the violence that are going on in Kenya right now. There was an article in Christianity Today, I believe it was, that's talking about this group of missionaries had gone over, and they were serving in a school, and they were in a class of some young Kenyan Christians teaching the English language. Normally well-behaved children, but they noticed as they were watching that this kid was writing something down with his little red pen, and then he'd take it and throw it at the head of another kid. And they kind of, what? Another kid pick it up, and then he'd write something down and he'd throw it at the head of another kid. And then they realized they weren't throwing it at each other. They're throwing it to each other. Because they only had one red pen. Jesus said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me so I can go out and preach the gospel to the poor. Not just the financially poor, but the spiritually poor. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of financially poor people out there. And I was thinking about that. And I can't pay for a cup of Starbucks coffee like I used to. I will still indulge every now and then. But I got to tell you, for the cost of a Starbucks coffee, man, I could provide some red pens to kids over in Kenya. But the point is that the gospel is for the most vulnerable people around us. And we have been blessed to be a blessing to them. And let me tell you something. We will not be a great church until we do that. And let me just back up and say, I'm thankful for the church that we are. We have opportunities here where we go out to the nursing homes. We have opportunities here where we go out and participate in Lily's Co-op. We have those of y'all that are going, even at tomorrow, that are going over to Friends of Refugee to read and to teach for the refugee organ. For every one of y'all that are participating outside of this church, that's great. And for the church and what we do, thank you so much for the things that y'all do with Operation Shoebox and Thanksgiving and things like that. And I got to tell you, I don't care what criticism we get. We're going to keep on doing it. Because that's the mission of God. And we're on the side of Jesus when we do stuff like that. We are blessed to be a blessing. But there is another go in Jesus' life. You know, Jesus said, if you want to be great, then be a servant. And the greatest of all is going to be the servant among us. Because you've been blessed, be a blessing. We've been blessed. And so we go. We ask the question, can we be a blessing because we need to? And there's this other go in Jesus' life. Jesus says again at the beginning of his ministry, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus was constantly going to people who were considered far from God, who were thought to be the spiritual rejects, the spiritual losers, the spiritually excluded, the spiritual outsiders. And as it says in our passage today, verse 5, walk in wisdoms to those who are without, redeeming the time. People who are outside of Israel, people who are outside the gate of Jerusalem, people who are thought to be far from God, this is where we go. And Jesus ate with sinners and liked being around them. He touched them. He included them. He healed them. He blessed them. And he gave them forgiveness of sins. They entered into fellowship with him through with a transcendent God because of Jesus. And they were given power to live their lives with purpose and hope because only Jesus can do that. And what God started with Abraham, God carried to fulfillment through Jesus Christ. Paul writes in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 8, he says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, and the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel before unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. This is God's story. And that was talking about Jesus. And you can be a part of it. That's the great blessing we have to share with anybody. The greatest blessing we have to share with anybody is what Jesus has done. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. And all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant, whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate, what condition you're in, and that he might comfort you. Whether you're struggling with a marriage on the brink of divorce right now, whether you're struggling with an addiction, whether you're struggling with pornography, whatever you're struggling with, the gospel is designed to give you comfort through the power and the strength of Jesus Christ, because you can't do it on your own. And I have to ask you, are you doing that? Are you going? Are you going to people far from God? Do you care for them? Do you have a heart for them? And not just in mass, oh Lord, bless all the sick and the afflicted, but people individually. Are you asking, God, use me? We never know where God will show up because he goes on ahead of us. You know, a few weeks back, I went to a high school football game. because football is a great place to meet people who are far from God. It's the only reason I went. And I go to the concession stand, and there is this this young man who was struggling because he had two kids, and he was holding the baby, and he was trying to get his wallet. And I said, "Hey, I'll hold your baby while you get your wallet." And he let me do that. He says, "Yeah, man, I got another one on the way." I said, "You really?" I said, "I had four, a special place in heaven for somebody that's got four." And he goes, "Oh, are you religious?" And I go, "Well, you know, it's part of my job." And I said, "You know, I don't know where you're at right now. But I go to a church where we got several young families that have young kids, and we're struggling like you, but we love Jesus, and he helps us out, and I'd like to invite you to come on. And I hope that he'll come here one day." But that's the kind of adventure we're on, where God will open up doors of opportunity for us. And maybe he's not going to come to Camp Creek. Maybe he's going to go to another church and meet Jesus there. But that's the kind of adventure that we're on. Oh, the places that you will go. The Apostle Paul says, "I want you to walk circumspectly, you know. I want you to let your conversations be seasoned with grace. It's just an adventure. Everybody's on this road on this adventure. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like being a part of that spiritual venture." And we're learning about the up, what God did for us. What does it look like in Jesus? We're learning about the in and the transforming relationship with Jesus, where there's no pretending, no hiding, and absolutely anybody of any race and socioeconomic class can be blessed through Jesus. But we can't stay in. We have to go out. And Jesus called his disciples together one last time. And they've been with him for 3 years as disciples. And a disciple just means student. And Jesus is just teacher. And he's been crucified and resurrected. And so here's graduation day. Here's why we've been doing this all these years. It's not so you can just stay here. Matthew 28, he says, "I want you to go to all nations. And I want you to teach and baptize and teach. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore," seeing it's all tied together. It's all tied together. The power of Jesus is tied together with this. This promise way back in Genesis. "All power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go. Therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always." And that is the greatest blessing of all, even unto the end of the world. "Abraham, go to the land that I will show you and make disciples of all nations." Now it's coming. "Make disciples of all nations, whether their names be Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai Van Allen O'Shea. Make disciples of all of them." And at last, after all these years, after Abraham, all the nations will be blessed, and all alone is the one thing that you will never be, because wherever you go there with me. That's the promise of Jesus. Kid, you'll move mountains. You know, Dr. Seuss didn't invent the idea of moving mountains. That was a guy by the name of Jesus. "If you have faith, you'll say to this mountain, 'Mountain, be moved.'" And then Jesus said to his students, to his graduates, and I know that Matthew just forgot to write this down. And I understand it's not actually in the book of Matthew, but I'm pretty sure you'll know exactly what Jesus says. "The places you'll go, you'll travel the world, you'll stand before kings, you'll have absolutely nothing, and you're going to be outrageously happy about it. You'll be locked up in prisons, and you're going to sing songs. You'll be beaten for your faith and count yourself honored to have suffered the same. You'll have nothing. You'll have no 401ks. You'll have no IRAs. You'll have no health care. You'll just have to trust me from the core of your being." And Jesus invites them to go. And he invites us still. You and you and you and you and all of us. We have that invitation. I'm concluding right now, but I want you to give me your attention if it's wandered. Just for another couple of minutes, just focus your attention. Because everything we do is because of what God has done. And the invitation of God and the imperative of God for us to go and to bless is based on the vertical indicative of what God has done for us. Because about 2,000 years ago, the Father called the Son and said, "Son, you're going to leave heaven. You're going to enter earth. And you're going to go to a manger, and you're going to go into a carpenter shop, and you're going to go to Egypt as a little runaway who's in great danger, and you're going to go into banquets that no other rabbi has ever gone before, and you're going to dine with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, and you're going to go to houses where they're going to make a hole so that people can come and they can see you. And they're going to get so excited about you. Then you're going to go where the lepers are. You're going to go to the cripples. You're going to go to the blind. You're going to go to the impoverished and to the sin-soaked and to the hopeless. And then one day, son, you're going to go to the cross. You're going to get nailed to it. You're going to bleed and you're going to die for the forgiveness of all of our family. And you're going to go to the tomb. But then, son, death and hell are going to find out that they can't even hold you back. And then you'll be released. Oh, the places you'll go. And then it's really going to begin, because then through your followers, you're going to go to prison cells and hospital rooms and broken homes and broken hearts and darkened streets. And you're going to bring joy to the world as far as the curse is found. Oh, the places you'll go. We can't stay in. We have to go out. Follow Jesus relentlessly, bless people shamelessly, face death courageously, because one day Jesus is coming back. And God's great mission is to bless His creation, to move it to the next phase, which is called the post-sin phase. Oh, I can't wait for that. And if you like being alive now, wait till you see that. Wait till you see the post-sin phase, in which every day will be better than the day before, because God just blesses and blesses and blesses. And the Charlies of the world will have no more afflictions, no more diseases. There's not going to be any pain. The Bible says there's not going to be any tears. There's not going to be any death. There's not going to be any Alzheimer's disease. There's not going to be any Down syndrome. There's not going to be any of that nonsense. It's the post-sin phase. Ah, the places we get to go. And that's ahead of us in Jesus Christ alone. So as we conclude with the Apostle Paul's message to the church at Corinth, think about the up of what God has done for us. Think about the in of what God's doing in us. Think about the out of what God calls us to do. And join us at this church as we struggle to serve this Master who has been so relentlessly good for us, and see the places that you will go. Amen.